Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India-Middle-East-Europe Economic Corridor, Reshaping Global Trade and Cooperation. The participants are Professor Gulshan Sachdeva, Center for European Studies, JNU, and Vishal Dahiya, journalist.
Namaskar and welcome. IMEC, that is India Middle East Europe Economic Corridor, was launched in 2023 during G20 summit held in New Delhi, and it aims to connect India, Europe and Middle East through UAE, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Israel and the European Union. This will create seamless trade linkages across continents and bring down logistics costs along with regional stability and maritime security. For a more detailed analysis of the significance of this corridor and how it will reshape global trade and cooperation, we have with us today for discussion on IMEC, Professor Gulshan Sachdeva and Vinod Kumar, Prasar Bharati Special Correspondent from Dubai, is also joining us. Welcome, both of you gentlemen. Professor Sachdeva, begin with you. Let's first start by understanding and explaining to our viewers as well why a specific need was felt for an economic corridor like IMEC.
The major need for different corridors is, one is that trade is increasing and it's likely to increase further in the coming years and decades. So there are already choke points in the existing routes. And of course, there is also geopolitical vulnerabilities, difficulties. Sometimes things can happen in one particular corridor. So it means you need more options. And those options can also perhaps you can design in a way that it could be cost effective. It can also take less time. So in this case, we already have a route to Europe through Suez Canal, which most of the businesses use. Or in fact, the longer route is, you know, you take route all across Africa and then you can reach Europe. But here, what we are talking is from Mumbai or from Gujarat port, you go to UAE and then you can use, this is a multimodal kind of corridor where you start using railway and rail networks from first UAE to Saudi Arabia and then to Jordan and then to reach Israel. And then from Israel, again, you start using maritime, then reaching different ports in Europe. Initially, it was thought that in 2023, September, when, as you rightly mentioned, at the sidelines of G20 summit, it was announced. During that time, apart from India, United States, Germany, France, European Union, UAE, and Saudi Arabia, all of them are party to the initial memorandum of understanding. So idea was that it will reach Greece. But now, in fact, many other countries like France and also Italy, they are also offering a very good options for their ports. So it means, things are interest in this particular corridor is increasing. In between, as you know, immediately after the announcement of IMEC corridor, then you had the tensions in the Middle East, and then you have the war between Israel and Gaza. And as a result, momentum was lost. But what we have seen now in the last couple of months, the momentum is back. When our Prime Minister visited Paris and Washington in February, it was very much part of the agenda in both the countries. And similarly, now both countries, France and Italy, they have also announced their specific ports and also they have announced their envoys for IMEC. So it means interest is increasing. And then 2 days back, we also have a large conference in Delhi where a large number of countries and scholars participated and also our ministers participated. So it means the interest from all sides are increasing. So of course, these are long-term projects. It will take time, but I think we are working on those.
Indeed, it is a mega project. And the good part is that it has been just almost a year and a half, but there is a lot of interest both from the Indian side and of course mostly the European nations, which you mentioned, like France and Italy, showing renewed interest out there as well. Let me bring in Mr. Vinod Kumar here as well on this aspect about keen interest being shown by these countries. Vinodji, what are the strategic motivations of several European countries like France, Italy or the Gulf states and of course India for participating in this entire initiative which we call IMEC?
First, let me start with Europe. Initiative IMEC is part of the Partnership for Global Infrastructure and Investment, which was launched by the G7 in 2021, as well as the Global Gateway launched by European Union in 2021 to increase public-private partnership to the tune of 300 billion euros for sustainable infrastructure in developing countries. This is concurrent with the EU's vision of green transition around the world. As we have already discussed, this particular corridor not only encompasses physical connectivity, this also encompasses cyber connectivity, data connectivity, green technologies, green energy transfer. These Middle Eastern and West Asian states have immense potential of generating green energy as well. And we should also take into account of Saudi's Vision 2030 and UAE's visions to move away from fossil fuels and decarbonizing the sector and creating more opportunities in the green energy. So European Union will definitely benefit from getting these green energies from this part of the world. And they have something called the Net Zero Act, which also postulates to get decarbonized in all the sectors which is currently way more polluting. As far as India is concerned, India has multiple benefits out of this. In India, logistics is around $200 billion sector with 4.6 billion of freight is transported annually. And as consumers, we are not generally much interested in paying transportation overheads. We often pay prices that include transportation costs because of the inefficiencies in this logistics architecture. So in the year 2022, we came with something called the National Logistics Policy, which seems to create efficiencies in this logistics sector. If you see a decade back, from 2014, we were ranked as 54th among the logistic performance index globally. Now, because of various schemes that India government has introduced, like PM Gati Shakti, Bharat Mala, Sagar Mala, Udan scheme for regional connectivity, this logistics performance index has come to 38th rank, as well as our total percentage of logistics came down from 13% to around 8.35% of India's GDP. This means that not only the local consumers in India, but also India's manufacturers and Indian products, the world markets become really competitive. The most important thing right now is IMEC will gain additional significance in the current context because trade wars are happening, tariff wars are happening, and globally multinational companies are pivoting away from China, and even European Union has its own policy of China plus one strategy, so that not only their manufacturing bases are there in China, but we can have in India. So this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for Indian companies to move away from. For Middle Eastern states, they are also part of the BRI initiative, so they are going to be at the crossroads of this global trade connectivity. As I mentioned, it will align with Europe's vision of decarbonizing. They can export their green energy as well as they can be a global trade hub, for example, Dubai. And this IMEC includes multiple ports in UAE, like Fujairah Port, Jebel Ali Fort, then the Dammam in Saudi Arabia. They want to be at the global crossroads of this trade. So it serves everyone's interest. It
looks like a very detailed, you know, analysis in terms of Professor Sachdeva looking at how all the partners in this initiative will benefit. But the big question again is, what are the best ways to implement and operationalize project of this mega scale?
This is the major question. One is that, you know, as long-term projects, so you have to actually divide it into certain phases and certain portions. You know, like you have this eastern corridor, what they call from India to Gulf, and then the northern corridor, which is basically from Gulf to Europe. Then in between, then you have the railway lines, which has to be built. You know, and the overall cost of the project is estimated to be somewhere around $500 billion. So obviously, this $500 billion, we are not talking only tomorrow. So what we are saying, if this is a 10-year project, we are talking about $50 billion roughly of cost of this project per year. That also depends which countries, where, what exactly project we are going to implement. So in the first phase, I think what India is doing from our trade, which is happening, say, for example, India and the Gulf region and India and the UAE port. So there at the moment, you know, this is also about how do you really reduce the cost of doing trade. In the long run, it will reduce your time, reduce your cost, and also all kind of harmonization which need to happen with the custom authorities, with all kind of all the procedures what you will be doing throughout this corridor, that has to be basically harmonized with each other. Then only things will move fast, and then the cost of doing trade will come down. Similarly, you also have to digitize all the processes all the way, and those digitization, then you also have to, in fact, you know, like India's UPI, etc. So all those things which you are basically doing in different countries, they have to be harmonized with each other. And from the European sides, I mean, different countries are trying to project themselves as to be the major, I would say, connecting points. Initially, as we were talking about Paris port and other ports in Greece, France is very clearly saying that the Mars Sea could be the entry point for this particular corridor. And Italy is projecting the city of Trieste, that because it has its own rail connections with other parts of the world. So it means every country, depending on every partner, depending on your own requirements, your own priorities, you will start working on this. And the European Union, as a multilateral agency, they are trying to align this project with their own global gateway project, which has its own about 300 billion euro kind of financing till 2030. So it means different partners will have to work differently, but everything has to be coordinated.
Coordinated and has to move simultaneously. Absolutely. As well. And of course, you know, something like public-private partnership. Absolutely. For efficiency and financial viability and regulatory connectivity as well. Let's come to India. What does India stand to benefit from this in terms of trade and maritime security and the regional connectivity as well, all aspects?
You know, for India, the good thing about this particular corridor is that, you know, it already aligns with our existing major trading partner. You know, we have a European Union, and Europe per se is a major trading partner of India. Similarly, UAE, Saudi Arabia, the countries within the Gulf region, they are also very important trading partner for us. So it means, you know, like compared to the earlier corridors like INSTC, etc., where there was a political will was there, but the trade volumes relatively less, because for 10 years, actually, India-Russia trade really didn't pick up. Here, trade already exists. So only thing is, just have to have more options to transport your trade cheaper, and then making the whole thing more efficient. And then, of course, from Indian point of view, as our Minister Piyush Goyal was mentioning recently, that it could be extended towards Africa and to the Southeast Asian region, because these are also, again, our other major trading partners. So for India, more options, doing more trade at less cost, and also, you know, easiness for our businesses.
Mr. Kumar, how does this IMEC enhance India's role in global trade and connectivity? How does it help us?
Apart from what the professor had told, India can act as the voice of the Global South, being part of this IMEC. India wants to make use of all the opportunities available and participate in the world market using these flexible schemes, not only the physical connectivity, but also the cyber, the energy connectivity that comes. And it can also boost India's economic integration and cooperation with G7 countries. The Voice of Global South summits, which happened a couple of years back, and we must also understand that India had withdrawn from the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership due to our not so good relation with China. Now, India has been in constant lookout for various trade opportunities, and India has already have very good trade relationship with the GCC countries as well as the Europe. And this also aligns with our other initiatives, like the Green Grids initiative. We have something called One Sun, One World, One Grid initiative by the International Solar Alliance, which India is a trailblazer. It aligns perfectly with it. And existing GCC national linkages, as well as breaking the Chinese encirclement like the BRI and the CPEC initiative, these are all very critical aspects of India's geopolitical stance when it comes to trade. So IMEC is one of the perfect solutions for all these things, which can be a historic opportunity for India, not only for trade, but also civilization to civilization contact.
Professor Sachdeva, what's the global view on a project like IMEC and the kind of momentum, rather, which it has gathered in the past few months?
The Global South Center of Excellence, you know, we have already, you know, established linkages with more than 140 think tanks in 85, 86 countries in the Global South. And almost every day we are having conversations on different issues with all of them. And there is a huge interest in all scholars from the Global South, particularly on the connectivity issues, because many of them are also partnered with the Chinese BRI. So they are also looking very carefully what India and its partners are kind of planning in this, and what lessons actually those countries can also learn, and also what benefits actually most of these countries can have from this, as we are thinking that, you know, extending it to Africa, to Southeast Asia, and already within this region. So there is a lot of interest in the Global South, and, you know, everybody is looking for more options. This is, from the very beginning, is a more cooperative project. It's more inclusive project. It's not designed in one country. So in that sense, you know, everybody can look forward for its own benefits from this particular project. Somebody can look for more better trade through this, talking about a lot of other things, and ultimately cultural and civilizational connections between all those parts of the world. You know, there are a lot of things which can happen. These corridors are not just only trade. This is much more than just trade.
Indeed, much more than trade, and involves a lot of other important aspects and dimensions to it as well. Thank you so much, Professor Sachdeva and Vinod Kumar from Dubai as well, for joining us and sharing your valuable inputs out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on India, Middle East, Europe Economic Corridor, Reshaping Global Trade and Cooperation. The participants participants were Professor Gulshan Sachdeva, Center for European Studies, JNU, and Vishal Dhaiya, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.